Found it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Podcast. Välkommen till Found It Podcast. Idag så är det bara jag, Patrik, som sitter här och filosoferar lite. Jag har inte så mycket nyheter att läsa upp. Patricia är fortfarande på, så att säga, semester. Så ni får nöja er med min röst. Som jag sa i förra programmet så har jag jagat efter folk som vill berätta sin historia i våra avsnitt. Och mitt sökande gick så pass långt som till andra sidan Atlanten. Till självaste högkvarteret av geocachingen. Så i det här avsnittet kommer ni få höra Annie Love och hennes historia om hur hon började med geocaching. Hur det gick till och hennes tankar om nutiden och drömmar om framtiden. Så utan några vidare kommentarer så säger jag take it away. And all of a sudden I just turned English yet again. Last week we spoke with Oliver. He was a Swedish guy, but right now we are here in English and I've invited Annie from Geocaching HQ. I say welcome to Found It Podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's good to be here today.
Well, it's an honor to have someone from HQ on the show as well.
Well, it's always fun for us to talk to the community, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll get right into it. I'll just going to ask you what your name is, Annie. We know that, but What is your geocaching name?
My name is Annie Love and my geocaching name is Love. So, cuz, you know, it's all you need. When I started the game, my caching name was Love with a less than and three sign, which I figured there are a bunch of nerdy people playing the game like me. And so I figured people would understand that that was a heart. But then I got called Love less than three at events. And so when I started working at HQ, I realized that the username Love had not been used for logging anything. So I was able to take over that name. And it's made it a lot easier to explain what my name is now. So.
Okay. Well, you haven't worked at HQ all your life, I guess.
No.
When did you become a geocacher and how?
Yeah, so I started in 2004. My dad had become a geocacher the year previous to that, and he would just always talk about it because he gets obsessed with every hobby he starts. And so he was always out geocaching. And then when I graduated from university in Boise, Idaho, I said, hey, Dad, can you take us, the family, out geocaching for the day? Because I want to see what it's like. And so we went to these sand dunes in Bruno, Idaho, a really cool place, and found a couple geocaches. And, you know, sure enough, it was like, oh, that's really cool. But it took a few months. It was probably October 2004, where I said, hey, Dad, it's my birthday. Can you maybe get me a GPS for my birthday? And so my account start date is maybe October 18th. And so I officially logged my first find then. And I kind of started a little bit slowly, you know, just the occasional hike. It was back when you had to like beep, boop up and put the coordinates in the GPS by hand. And I would handwrite the hints out and maybe the description of the cache. And if I didn't have a printer at the time, and so I would just, every time I'd go for a hike or try to discover a new place in Seattle, because I had just moved there, then I would try geocaching. And it was 2007 when I started working at HQ. So
you basically got to work with your hobby, so to speak.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. I was kind of in a transition time work wise. I wanted to find a new position because I just wasn't enjoying working in the hotel industry. And so I was applying everywhere I could think of. And then one day I realized, I think I was ordering some gifts off a shop geocaching for my dad. And I saw the address on the website and I was like, oh, Seattle, that's cool. And it was actually like not that far away from where I lived. And so I sent in a resume and said, hey, you know, I'm not a developer, but if my skill set ever fits any positions you have, I'd love to work there. I didn't hear anything. And then 6 months later, I was really desperate looking for a new job. And so I just responded to that email and said, hey, I'm still interested. And heard from Brian Roth, who's now the president of Geocaching HQ. He was the vice president at the time. And he said, you know, we don't have any positions, but would you like to come in for an interview? And I said, well, sure, you know, why not? And so sure enough, by the time I came in for an interview, they realized they needed some more community support. So someone answering emails, an actual front desk person. So we had the Geocaching HQ cache was an archived puzzle cache at the time. And so people would find out about it through word of mouth, through the community. And when they did find out about it, then they would schedule a visit for Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. And so I was the person to welcome people into the office. And it's just kind of grown from there. And so I've kind of worked on a couple different departments, or I guess three different departments. So the community team, I've worked with the merchandise team, and now I'm on business development. So
I know you are a lot at HQ working with, I think all of our people selling geocaching stuff and suppliers have been in contact with you once in a while. But when you're not working, how much of your time do you spend geocaching?
Lately with the pandemic, a lot. So what's interesting, you know, when I first started working at HQ, I would cache occasionally, again, still going when I was hiking or, you know, maybe out with some fellow lackeys. And then finally I started going to events more. And so then my interest in geocaching kind of rose. And then we started like some internal competitions at work, and also just, you know, a program to help lackeys kind of like evolve in the game and really get to know the game well. And that's kind of inspired me. I use Project GC a lot to say, oh, hey, you know, what challenges do I qualify for? And if not, where am I missing some stuff? And then I got interested in power trails. And so I've really ramped up my caching in the last few years in general. And then begrudgingly, I started a streak this year. And I'm not one to enjoy cache streaks, but I, you know, what else is there to do? And so it's working from home. It's a must to have a break and get outside of my apartment during the day. And geocaching's just really been a great option to make that happen, so that I make sure I leave my house every day. And then now next January, I'll be done with a year streak. So let's hope I can keep it going. Yeah. So
during the years, have you have any friends tag along, or just drag them out to go geocaching with you?
It's all over the spectrum. So I've had people drag me out. I've taken other friends along. Some of my friends, you know, it really enjoy the game. They don't necessarily have an account or log all their caches, but they enjoy going. You know, my friend out in Minnesota, I go out and her kids love to go geocaching and their cousins love to go. So we always have a great time. Lackeys, I tend to be one of the lackeys that gets other lackeys out geocaching. So, you know, whether it's, hey, let's go kayaking and go for a cache, or, hey, this is going to be a milestone cache for me. Whoever wants to go with me, like, let's do it. You know, and so another thing I tend to organize is like a lackeys on tour trip. So it's all self-funded trip that we go on just for fun. And it's always a good time. And, you know, this last year, because of COVID, we did a camping version so that everyone could be outside and be safe, but we still had a blast. And, I don't know. I love the places it takes me, and, you know, the things it pushes me to do, and then, you know, in turn helping other people geocache, or they inspire me. So,
well, we were talking about your work at Geocaching HQ. I never asked you what the best thing is.
Oh gosh, that's a really, really long list. I wouldn't be able to explain it all in this podcast for sure. The people I work with at HQ are amazing. The community is absolutely amazing. The reviewers, the translators, all the people who place caches and go to events. There's simple little things all the time where, you know, I've never been thanked so much for what I do in a job before. And that's really special, you know, because here I am thinking I need to thank all the geocachers out there because they're creating the fun adventures for me. So it feels like, well, you know, I'd just like to do this anyway, because it's a fun hobby. And, you know, I always say that I'm both an employee of the company, but I'm also a customer of the company. And so it's kind of fun to see both worlds. And I would just say the adventures that the game has taken me on, whether it was a personal trip or a work trip. You know, I made it to Sweden, which was awesome, and got to go find, you know, the Jasmer cache there. And I remember when I was at Megathad, I get them all confused, in Sundsvall, going in the middle of the night to find a mystery cache in a creepy old house. And, you know, it was something that I was definitely afraid to go do. But, you know, a geocaching friend said, hey, let's go do it. And so we did. We found the cache, you know, and now I can look back at the experience and say, okay, that was fun. But it's driven me to climb Mount Rainier, which is a 14,400 foot peak in Washington. It's the highest point in Washington and requires mountaineering skills. And, you know, so I spent 6 months training for that. And I would just say there's not many things that inspire me to go do as much different stuff as this game does. And I'm thankful for all the aspects of it, even sometimes the bad stuff that comes along with it.
Not necessarily a bad stuff, but what are your responsibilities?
So my responsibilities, like I said, I started a long time ago, so almost hitting 15 years at the company. And so there are different projects that I sort of took along the way and have kept them as I've moved to different positions in different departments. One of the things, like you mentioned, I work with all the shop distributors. So I help get the account set up for those folks and just answer any questions as needed. I manage the trackables program. So if you ever get a trackable made, the design goes through me. I help with the orders that go through for that. I help all the mega event and giga events get their codes for their official event trackables. I also work with the GPS maze. So we've had some new GPS mazes being built around the world. And so I assist those hosts with that. I do our logo licensing. So with the help of our lawyers, our legal team at HQ. So if you want to use Signal to make it, you know, an item to sell, then I would be the person you would talk to for that. I also, the bulk of my job these days is I manage the API partner program. So if you use any partner like Project GC, Cachely, GeoGo, GSAC, I have a direct link with all those partners, and really just trying to help them help provide the tools for the community to play the game. And so there's stuff that we can't do at HQ that we just don't have the time for, but you know, these partners can help bring some of that stuff to life, you know, whether it's just kind of a small regional thing, or if it's like, hey, this might be a new tool that helps inspire you to play the game more. Like, you know, like I said, the challenges that I can go check easily on Project GC to see if I qualify for them. That's something that drives me to play the game more. So I think they're really valuable tools for the community, and everyone's going to play the game a little bit different. So, you know, I think it's important that everyone has the tools that they like to be able to play the game. I also take pictures. So some of the shop geocaching photography, that's me. I don't know. I've worn the Signal suit a couple times. just whatever comes up.
It seems like you have a lot of experience from geocachers and geocache happenings and so on. Mm-hmm. What would you say is your worst experience, just to drag it down a little bit to, yeah, to start with?
There's definitely negatives in the game, but I would say this is probably my biggest pet peeve is when I get a DNF. Like, I know it's silly, it happens all the time, but I will joke sometimes, oh, I hate this game right after I get a DNF. And, you know, and like sometimes at this point in my career of playing the game, it's sort of like, well, I just hit 14,000 cash mines the other day, so I should be good at cashing, right? You know, but if I don't find one that I know is there, I'm like, oh, this is so frustrating. and I know the second I go and find the next cache, oh, I love the game again. It's great. So it's that's probably one of the worst things in the game for me. And it doesn't keep me down for long though, so that's good. But right now, because I'm streaking, you know, if I have limited time to get my cache of the day, then it's that much more frustrating if I get a DNF. Back to the drawing board. So
you have been doing geocaching for so long, and 14,000 caches, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm soon at my 700. So.
Oh, very good, very good. it doesn't matter. Everyone plays the game how they play it. And, you know, I've had some opportunities to go do power trails in the desert in Nevada or California or Arizona. And, you know, that's why my numbers are where they are. You know, and I would never, you know, think like, oh, like I have more caches, so that makes me a better cacher. No, it doesn't. I still DNF all the time. So, you know, it's you do what you want and you have fun with it. And that's the cool thing to me about the game is that everyone can take what they want out of it, you know, and it's casual caching. Great. If it's power trail caching, great. You know, just go do it and have fun.
Next question is what your best experience will be.
Best experience, I'd still put that Mount Rainier, you know, as one of the best caches. It's my favorite cache. It's if you got one of my original tags from back in the day, Mount Rainier's on the tag. Just the fact that I put so much effort in training for 6 months, really learning a lot of mountaineering skills, and, you know, just it was a challenge. It was a 2-day climb. You know, there were points on the climb where I wasn't sure I was going to make it to the top. And then there were points where I'm crossing a crevasse on a ladder. And I, you know, it's just like, you see that stuff when people are climbing Everest and here I am doing it myself. And I'm really proud, you know, that I went out and did that. And it was the geocache on top that inspired me. So, you know, just to be able to put that whole package together, definitely one of the best experiences. But I'd also have to say, anytime I go to a mega event, anytime I just go out caching with a group of lackeys, you know, like I have so much fun with so many different aspects of the game. So just coming back from going caching in Georgia, that was a fantastic mega. And I just had a blast. It was so great to see the community again and just, you know, work on puzzles, even though I'm terrible at puzzles, you know, like with my fellow lackeys and fellow geocachers, like I came back so happy from that event. So
do you have any placed caches yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've got just a handful. I adopted some old GeoTour caches once the GeoTour ended. And then I've got some around Seattle. There's one not too far from HQ. So it's been found quite a bit. And it's actually molded over time because for a while it was one of the HQ GeoTour caches. So a lot of people would find it with that, but then, you know, we archived that and then I reused the location because it's a nice location. And yeah, I've got a couple caches in Idaho that my dad helps me maintain and I get back to my hometown regularly. So there's not a ton of caches in North Idaho. So, you know, I ended up placing my adventure labs in Idaho, just because I wanted to be able to provide something for the local community there. And, you know, not just the same few hiders hiding for each other. It's nice to like add some different stuff in there for them. So, but yeah, you know, I just did some cache maintenance on a hike. I have a geocache that's on one of my favorite hiking trails that's close to Seattle. And so just checked on that and all was good.
Yeah. Coming to next is how about events? Do you go on many events?
I do. So I try to attend a lot of the events, especially right now with my streak. Anytime there's an event that can help me, you know, keep my daily streak going, that's awesome. I'm actually hosting an event in New York City the week after next. So I don't always host an event when I travel, but sometimes if it fits in. So I've hosted events in Ireland, Germany. I'm trying to think, just, you know, other locations. I hosted my community celebration event in Minnesota recently because I was out visiting friends. I try to get to megas, you know, 2 or 3 megas every year, or gigas if possible. I attend a lot of local events, and just got my 14,000th cash find at a cash in trash out event last Saturday. So that was a lot of fun to be able to celebrate with people for that.
That's great. Do you have any good memories from one of the events you've been on?
There was this one event that I hosted in Scotland, on top of Ben Nevis, which is the highest point of the UK. And it's a difficult hike, and I decided to host one on the very top, and not sure, you know, what kind of crowd I would get. And I'd been in touch with a couple, you know, or at least one friend from Scotland saying, yeah, I'll be there, whatever. And the cool thing that happened there was when I showed up, there was a guy from Germany who was attending. And then once we got to the top where the event location was, two of my caching friends from Belgium had actually flown in and surprised me, and they went and hiked up the mountain before I did. And so I only saw them when I got to the top, and I had no clue whatsoever. And it was funny because they tried to drop some hints on my Facebook wall, but I didn't get it. So it was a really nice surprise.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And, you know, that to me is like the special part of the game, is that here I was on top of the highest point of Scotland, and there's geocachers from Scotland, from Germany, from Belgium, from the US, you know, all getting together, having some laughs. You know, we had just done a hard climb, and then, you know, sharing stories over beers at the bottom once we got done. So that definitely goes out as one of the like kind of fun memories, because it was fun to be surprised on top of a mountain.
I think the events are the best way to meet other geocachers, because we had an event here in 2019, right before the pandemic strike. 2020 Gosh. Must have been right like a month before the pandemic strike, all of Sweden shut down. And we met in our town. We have like 5 or 6 geocachers placing all the time,
right?
Myself included, but we had never seen each other. We didn't know what we were looking at. So all of a sudden, we're all in the middle of the town, and next to us is a huge singing contest at the same time.
Okay.
So we stood there looking at each other, screaming, and just sharing travel bugs. I guess.
Oh, nice.
So if I understand, you've been on those sorts of events that are that really makes us come together and talk. And
oh, for sure.
Do you think you would have been this social if you wouldn't been geocaching?
I'm a social person in general. It's funny because I'm also a shy person, so I'm not necessarily, if a friend is saying, oh, I'm having a party, and okay, I know a friend is going to be there, so that takes some social anxiety out of it for me. but for some reason in the game of geocaching, and maybe it's because it's my job, but even when I go to just personal events, you know, on the side and not representing as a lackey at the time, just going as Annie the cacher, I'm a lot more open and willing to just strike up a conversation with a stranger with geocachers. And I think it's just that, that notion that we are all there for the same reason and we all have some common bonds, you know? So even if we're from different parts of the world, we can share stories and have laughs over the same, you know, oh yeah, I hate DNFing caches. And oh yeah, we both found that, you know, that cool virtual in Berlin or something like that, you know, and there's just this common bond that, it's unique to geocaching. And obviously, you know, other groups, I've walked the Camino de Santiago across Spain and up through Portugal. And, you know, it's a very similar community where the moment you sit down and say, oh yeah, you walk the Camino. Oh, and then you're just blah, 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 you know, endless conversation. And, you know, geocachers are the same way. I'm sure, you know, probably the Pokemon community is similar that way if they get together. But the other thing too is just the kindness of geocachers. I've never seen such a kind community, whether they are in person or even sometimes on Facebook. There's just people helping each other out. And, you know, if someone posts in one of the regional groups saying, hey, I'm coming to town, usually a few comments down, there's someone saying, hey, you know, I'm free that day. I'll go caching with you. And, you know, there've been a few times I've gotten into cars of people that I didn't know and I didn't speak the same language as them, but I felt comfortable, you know, because I said, well, we're all in this together and we have the same goals today. So why not, you know? And then some of those are some of my best experiences where I just said, okay, go for it. So I would say the game helps take, a little bit of that social anxiety off. And, you know, I think we had a blog post a few months back that was about kind of social anxiety and what to do if you're a new cacher, new to events. And, you know, I would just say this community is so welcoming. And so it really does make it easier if that's not something you're necessarily good at. But if you can just go up and say, hey, you know, how did you get into geocaching? Hey, can you help me like solve this puzzle or whatever? You know, geocachers are generally going to be like, yeah, let's do it. Or let's go find it together. So that's pretty fun.
When you're out in Seattle, either working to your workplace or going home or just out on the street, can you recognize people being geocachers around? Because I guess there are more people visiting Seattle just log HQ and around. So
yeah,
you have the eyes for it now.
You know, and having Pokemon Go come around sort of made everyone look like a geocacher there for a little bit. And also I would say that game made me look less weird to non-cachers because it's like, oh, she's probably just playing Pokemon, you know, as she's looking under park benches. But yeah, definitely there's a look. I've been out on, you know, little hikes in the middle of some of the parks in Seattle. And yeah, I've come across, you know, people that all of a sudden they hide their GPS real quick. And I'm like, oh, I know what you're doing. and it's like, oh, did you find the cache? the one thing I like to do now is if I walk up and someone's clearly logging a cache in, you know, some remote area and it's random that we both ended up there at the same time, I'll be like, hey, can you sign my name? you know, or if I'm driving past some people that I know they're finding a cache that I've already found, I'll be like, I'll roll down the window. Hey, sign my name. just for fun. Yeah, it's definitely when I'm in the office, my desk is situated where I can look down on a virtual cache that's right outside the building. And so I've spent hours watching geocachers, you know, and just like the virtual cache takes a little time sometimes because you have to look at all these bricks and find the one that has a tracking code on it. So I'll just spend people, you know, they're reading every single brick. And if I see them go too long, sometimes I'll even walk outside and be like, hey, do you want some help finding the cache? So, yeah, so that's always fun for me. And I would say working at the company, again, takes that anxiety away from just like striking up a conversation with someone who I know is a geocacher just out in the wild. So I'm happy to talk about it. And yeah, sometimes I'll meet people and not tell them I'm a lackey. And then other times I'm like, hey, here's my lackey tag. Here you go. It was nice to meet you. So.
Okay. I never heard the word lackey before. Can you tell me what that means?
Yeah. So it's a term of endearment. You know, generally the term, if you look it up on a dictionary, it's going to be like a servant, the person that's supposed to, you know, get their hands dirty and get the hard work done. And so
a minion, so to speak.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was basically like, hey, lackeys are here to, you know, help make the website servers stay up. And, you know, we're also, you know, there's a joke, long time joke on the forums about the hamsters. You got to get the hamsters some food so that they can keep the servers running. But anyway, yeah, we've just been known as lackeys for a long time. So our shirts, when we come to events, say geocaching lackey. People try to collect all the lackey tags of all the HQ employees they meet over the years. And it's never felt like, you know, a bad term. It's just been like a term of endearment, and, you know, people are excited to meet us, and, you know, we're excited to meet people from the community and, you know, get some knowledge from local cachers, because, you know, for us, it's getting to go to the events around the world. We get to find out how people play the game in different places and what's important to them and everything. So, when we represent the company, with our lackey shirts on and you see us at events, that's a good time to come up and say hello. And, you know, if there's something you like about the game, if there's something you don't like about, you know, our products or the app, then that's a good time to talk to us about it. So, yeah, it's, I'm proud to be a lackey. I'll say that.
All right. Well,
yeah.
You have been traveling a lot, but is there anywhere you haven't been yet? A dream location?
Yeah. My bucket list is still very long. Probably the number one place I would like to go would be to climb Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. And I know there's a cache on top, so it's the highest point in Africa. And so that's been on my bucket list ever since I climbed Mount Rainier. Because, you know, you climb one big mountain, then you're like, oh, what's the next big mountain I could go for? And so I just put it on my bucket list. It's, you know, and it's an expensive trip, so it hasn't happened yet, but it will at some point. And, you know, maybe some fellow geocaching friends will go with me. That would be great. But yeah, that's, you know, my list is very long. You know, I'd love to get the caches that are near Everest Base Camp too. That's another, you know, just my hiking, the fact that I can combine my hobbies of hiking and geocaching are great. And it's inspired me to go other places for that reason.
Then I will ask, is Reach the Peak your idea?
Oh no. I love the idea though. Yeah. Yeah, the promotion Reached the Peak. I'm obviously, this month is Kilimanjaro, so I'm excited. I got my base camp souvenir yesterday. Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure who came up with the idea at HQ, but I was in full support of it, because I said that's a fun way to acknowledge, you know, my geocaching accomplishments with something that I would like to go do myself. But yeah, I don't know that I would make it to all of the tallest peaks. But yeah, definitely Kilimanjaro is on the list.
Okay. Well, if I were a geocacher, or not a geocacher, a person who barely know what it is, how would you try to describe it to me to make me begin?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Basically, I usually say it's treasure hunting, modern day treasure hunting, using GPS enabled device. You know, it used to be obviously a GPS back when I started, but now it's your smartphone. I actually had a friend from high school post on my Facebook wall the other day saying, hey, you know what? I saw your post about geocaching. My son and I are going to go. What do we do? You know, And so, I told her, I was like, well, get the geocaching app. And the nice thing with the app is if you're just a basic member just starting, it'll kind of guide you towards some of the larger, maybe easier to find caches. And so, you know, hopefully you have a good first experience. I would also tell people, try to go with someone who knows the game if you can at first, because they can help you, you know, find that little tiny cache that's underneath a park bench or whatever, where you would just be like, there's nothing here, you know? And yeah, like I've definitely seen over the years, people say, oh, I tried geocaching and I couldn't find any of the 5 or 6 caches I tried to find today. And, you know, they're kind of frustrated. And so that's where, if you're able to go with someone who knows the game, that's always a good thing. I always tell people, go for the bigger caches, go for the ones that are the lower difficulty rating, and yeah, larger cache size, because then it'll be a little bit easier to find. And also check the recent logs. That's something I often forget to do, is, you know, if there's 4 or 5 DNFs on a log, you might not want to try that cache as your first cache. So whether it's gone or it's just a really tricky cache, who knows? I just also tell people, like I told my friend the other day, I said, you're going to have so much fun discovering new locations in your backyard, and you're just going to love it for that reason. So even if you don't find the cache, you might still find cool parks and things you didn't know about.
Okay. We're basically trying to say the same thing to our new listeners, because we have some episodes that are only for newbies, so to speak. I tell my friends, come, join me out looking for a can. Yeah. Huh? What? Plastic? No. Right. No. Because this is a great way to get motivated to go outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel for the sure. same?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and that's where, when I know that someone has a certain type of hobby already, like hiking or kayaking or something, I'm like, you can do that while you go do those hobbies. And even, you know, friends in Idaho ride their horses to caches, and they place caches higher up in a tree that are meant for when you're out horseback riding, you know, and so that's a good thing. I think the other thing too, if someone's like, you know, I want to start getting more exercise, but I'm not really motivated by going to the gym or whatever. And it's like, well, if you go geocaching, you know, you could plan to park farther away from the caches and walk, or pick the ones that are farther down trails. And, you know, you're going to be so focused on finding this geocache that you're not going to realize how many steps you're getting while you're playing the game. And, you know, you might come home and be like, surprised. And that's one thing, you know, probably the best joy I've seen off of some geocachers' faces are people who have struggled with, you know, getting outdoors and getting exercise. And, you know, I remember there was a woman who, you know, she wasn't in the greatest shape and had a lot of health issues, and the game caused her to go out geocaching a lot, and she started hiking more and more. And, you know, she would be like, I'm never going to be able to climb that mountain. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, she does it. And then she's like, I'm never going to be able to climb that bigger mountain. And then she does it. And I think she ended up climbing like the highest mountain in California, you know, like, and those are, you could just see the pride for her. And, you know, just knowing that, like, she got to go have these awesome adventures just because of the game. So that to me is really special. And If I could, like, impart that on other people who are wondering about the game for the first time, you know, it's like, go out, do those things, and be surprised about the things that you end up choosing to do, whether it's walking in the mud or whatever. Like, you'll do crazy things for a geocache.
What happened to HQ during the pandemic? Did you just split up, go your separate ways to work from home all the time, or...?
Yeah. So we, fairly early on in the pandemic, March of last year, as other businesses started, you know, working remote in Seattle, we went remote right away. And so it was just, hey, you know, for 2 weeks, take your computer home and take what you need from your desk home, and we'll work our way through this, you know. And then obviously 2 weeks turned into 4 weeks, and then 4 weeks turned into 3 months. And then it was, well, indefinitely, like, we don't know when we're coming back. And so now we're at a point where it's, you know, people are coming back into the office. It's, you know, you still wear masks around the office unless you're sitting at your desk. And I would say probably, you know, between 15 and 30 people are back in the office on a semi-regular basis, but a lot of folks are still working from home. And the cool thing that I would say, you know, I miss seeing fellow coworkers all the time, but I would say we've been really effective despite the challenges of working remote, and meetings have been really effective. And, you know, and I'm definitely trying to get back into the office more just because I miss my coworkers and it's a fun office to be at. So you can come log the HQ cache again. We're still not open to visitors in our visitor center, but you can at least log the cache. So that's a good first step, you know, toward hopefully reopening at some point. And we'd love to get people back in the office when we can for visiting the actual cache container and all that. So at some point we'll get there.
Thanks a lot, Annie. This was an honor for me.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully at some point we can all cross paths and in person and at geocaching events or out in the field. So I love meeting cachers from all over. So yeah, and there is a big event happening in Seattle next summer. So you know, if you can make it out that way in August, we'd love to have everyone join us for our 20th celebration in the 22nd year. So
thanks a lot, Annie, and I wish you the best in the future to go geocaching and eventing and maybe hiking or climbing Kilimanjaro.
Yep.
Who knows?
Yep, definitely. Yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, someday I'll make it there. So very nice to chat with you today, and I just wish the best to all of your listeners and watchers. So hopefully I'll see you all at some point if I haven't met you already. So yeah, anyway, thank you for having me.
Well, Annie was a great person to talk to, and I wish her all the best. Zoom unfortunately didn't play very well with the audio, so the robo voices you hear is basically the Zoom software messing the recording up. But that's the way online radio goes. And that was Annie Love from Geocaching HQ, a very lovely person that I will remember talking to for a long time, especially since we had a good talk both before and after the actual interview. I think most of you listeners who have visited the larger events like Megas or Gigas probably have met her, or maybe will in the future. And as you can hear now, I'm still using the English language to communicate, and that is because I would like the international listeners to understand when we have interviews that's not with a Swedish geocacher. And if you're interested in talking to us, have general feedback, or wish to support us, this is the way you can contact us.
Found It podcast is provided to you by Patrick Norén and Patricia Lehmann. Please visit founditpodcast.se to find out how you can contact us, where you can listen to us, and how you can support us. Thank you for listening.
I hope you're are having a good time geocaching out there, and take care of each other. My name is Patrick Norén, and you've been listening to Found It podcast. Goodbye to you.
Found It
podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.